One of the things I always get a kick out of is when people in other faith circles that I'm talking to try and tell me that the United Methodist Church is not a biblical church. Time and time again, we find in the things that we do and we're involved in our worship times, we find elements of those in the Bible and how they were drawn out of the Bible into our worship times. One example is in our general confession. We've erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We've followed too much devices and desires of our own hearts. We've offended against thy holy laws. We've left undone things which we should have done, and we've done things that we shouldn't have done. In one version of the confession, I think it reads something like this: we've failed to be an obedient church. We've not loved you with our whole heart. We've not loved our neighbors as ourselves. You see what I'm saying? And we start to see that as we see one of the things that was taking place among God's people in the Old Testament, and that was benevolence. We are called to be a benevolent people. Now, we're going to talk about what that word means. We are called to be a benevolent people because our God is a benevolent God. Every single one of us here this morning is a recipient of God's benevolence. The word benevolence means kindness or a charitable act. Every single one of us here this morning is a recipient of God's kindness and charitable acts. I don't care how much you hurt this morning, the aches and pains, maybe your checkbook's empty, maybe you know something's happened in your life, you still can look at your life and find God's kindness and charity, because from cover to cover in the Bible, God's kindness and charity is exposed, because God is a charitable, kind God. And He expects His people to be charitable and kind and benevolent also. As God's people were now renewing their nation spiritually, it was important to renew the covenant with God that they had taken in the first place as God's people. When you take a covenant, you take an oath. And a covenant or an oath involves faith. Faith has to be present for the covenant to work. Because when one side loses faith, or one side or the other is unfaithful, the covenant breaks down. Well, God is faithful, and God never loses faith in us. It's when we lose faith in God and our love fails, as we say in the confession, God's love remains steadfast. It's we who fail in the covenant. God's people had failed in the covenant. And they knew that no matter how much the nation was rebuilt, and the people had come back, and now they were their own people again, the city walls were rebuilt. To rebuild the nation spiritually meant that they had to re-enter the covenant and take an oath with Almighty God and have faith in God and be faithful in living out God's commands. So, as we read in our text today, and we've talked about for the past few weeks, they met together and they joined themselves, they bound themselves with this oath to follow the law of God. Firstly, they promised to follow the law of God in purity by not giving their daughters in marriage to the people around them or taking their daughters for their sons. In this way, the nation of Israel would remain pure and not be intermingled. Part of the problem why God allowed them to go into captivity is they had not followed this. And they allowed their children to intermarry with the foreigners, and then the next thing you know, they were all worshiping foreign gods. God said the only way to stop that is to only keep marriage within our covenant family. Okay? Secondly, they took an oath to follow the law of God in integrity. They said that we promise that when the neighboring peoples bring merchandise or grain to sell on the Sabbath or any other holy day, we're not going to do it. We say no, we lock the city gates, we keep them out. There will be no business as usual on the Sabbath day. Okay? So they took an oath of purity, an oath of integrity, and now thirdly, they took an oath of charity. As I was reading over this, I thought of all the things that they were to take an oath to follow. Where does charity come into this? And why was this so important? Because charity or benevolence is all about what God is about. Okay? And God commanded His people to be benevolent towards others. In Exodus chapter 23, when His people were at Mount Sinai, we learn about what's called the Sabbath year, to take a Sabbath every seventh year. And we're going to talk about what took place. In Leviticus chapter 25, when the people were getting ready to depart from Mount Sinai and to wander in the desert on the way to the Promised Land, we read that the laws were reviewed, and again, we learned about the seventh year, the Sabbath year. We also hear about it in Deuteronomy 15 as they just stood at the Jordan, ready to cross over into the Promised Land. Again, God's laws were reviewed. It was important for them to review them so that they did not forget them when they got into the Promised Land. If you read some of them, for 6 years you're to sow your fields and harvest the crops, but during the seventh year, let the land lie unplowed and unused. Then the poor among your people may get food from it, and the wild animals may eat what they leave. Do the same with your vineyard and your olive groves. In Leviticus chapter 25, we read about this. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you enter the land that you're going to, observe a Sabbath to the Lord. For 6 years sow your fields, and for 6 years prune your vineyards, gather your crops, but in the seventh year the land is to have a Sabbath of rest, a Sabbath to the Lord. Don't turn the soil. You may ask, what will we eat in the seventh year if we do not plant or harvest our crops? I will send you such a blessing in the sixth year that the land will yield enough for 3 years. While you plant during the eighth year, you'll eat from the old crop and continue to eat from it until the harvest of the ninth year comes in." So you see the concept of this. There was to be a Sabbath year known as the year of release, when debts were canceled and no one owned any land. And in this way, we found that the poor people were provided for. You see, the land was given to families according to their clans, their tribes. But in the seventh year, the land belonged to no one. And everyone, including the poor, was allowed to go in and gather whatever the land produced that seventh year. They were not allowed to plow it or sow. They just had to trust that God would provide from that land, that the poor could come in and eat from it, and everyone could enjoy from God's bounty. It was also a year when God would allow the land to refresh itself, to renew itself. You know, the land needs refertilization, doesn't it? The crops take the nutrients out of the soil. We fertilize them with artificial fertilizers. God's way of fertilizing, one way I should say, have you ever seen the electrical storms? I love electrical storms because what they do when the lightning flashes, it puts nitrogen into the air. And when the rain comes down, the rain brings that nitrogen down to the ground and fertilizes the ground. And God took this seventh year to replenish and nourish the soil in His own way. But this was about faith as much as it was about benevolence. The people had to trust that God was going to provide enough to get them through that year. This was an act of kindness or benevolence on God's behalf through God's people. The sad part of it was God's people in the past had said, "No, no, this is our land. We're going to do with what we want. They don't deserve to be in here picking our grain and our crops. This is our property. And this seventh year, that's a year for us to get ahead. We're going to work that seventh year and we're going to fill our barns more full and we're going to become richer yet." That wasn't God's plan. God's plan isn't for anybody to be rich in worldly goods. God's plan is for benevolence. And He blessed them for 6 years so that on the seventh year, everybody could come in and eat of God's charitable act of kindness. It was God's way of providing for everyone. And God's people had turned away from that. So now here they were, taking an oath of purity, integrity, and charity. This was important to God, and it still is today. This was the principle that was taking place when Ruth met Boaz. Remember, Naomi had a husband and two sons, and they all died. And her daughter-in-law Ruth went back to Bethlehem with Naomi. And while they were there, they needed food. Well, the custom was when you went out into a field to harvest the crops, you were to let some of it fall on the ground so that the poor people and the widows and orphans could come along and eat. That was the benevolence program of the people of that time. President Obama. It was an awesome plan of benevolence for the people. And lo and behold, Ruth met Boaz. And lo and behold, hundreds of years later, through the lineage of Ruth and Boaz, came Jesus. It was God's great plan of grace and benevolence. Now today in our age, I think in some ways we've fallen into this culture of entitlement. What's mine is mine. It belongs to me. I worked hard for it. They don't deserve it out there. They're lazy. You know, that's up to God. If God tells me to give someone something, it doesn't matter whether they're lazy or not. It doesn't matter even if they have more than I do. If God tells me to give it to them, I need to give it to them. Maybe God's using them as a way to get it to somebody else. And I have no right at all to dictate who I give what to. I follow God's commands to give because God has given to me. One of the greatest blessings in my life that I have learned this principle. Many of you know that I never hunted until I moved here. After I moved here, I started hunting game birds, and I love to hunt game birds. A lot of fun. Well, for the first couple of years, it was really neat to go out there and see if we could get our limit of two birds. And we get them, we bring them home, and wow, there they were. I was anxious to feed my family and learn how to cook it and have new meals, new dishes, and so forth to enjoy. But one day, while I was dressing two of those birds, the Lord said to me, "I want you to give those to so-and-so." And at first I thought, they're my birds. I shot those birds. And I learned, they're not my birds. They're God's birds. And as I follow God's speaking in my heart about this, I found a great joy in sharing with others in this valley who years before have done the same thing and enjoyed it but no longer can because of maybe physical reasons. God gave me this desire to do this. And now I can share this with others. And I can't tell you how much more fun it has made hunting to know that what I'm bringing home, I'm going to share with somebody else. It completely changed the whole dynamic of the days when we go out hunting now. It's so awesome to give to others out of the abundance that God gives to us. We'll never be without. Look at us. Look at us. I mean, look at us. Has God withheld anything from us? Absolutely not. I was driving down the road the other day in my old beat-up Subaru, just trucking along with all its noises and zoom down in the other direction comes somebody in this big brand-new sports car, and I knew who it was, and I thought, they just had a brand-new car 2 years ago. But I had to have a reality check because I thought to myself, if God wanted me to have that car, I'd be in that car, right? Right? I walked into one of the stores. Well, actually, it was this hunting store out at the mall the other day. And as I walked in there, this big display was, they're getting ready for hunting season. There this big display is, and there all these big, nice, fancy hoodies are. And you know what the hoodies are? They're the sweatshirts. The hoods on them. And these hoodies had the name on the front of them, you know. Wow, they were awesome. I walked up and I turned over the tag and I think it was somewhere around $70. I thought, oh my gosh. $70? And there are people, there are children around the world freezing. $70? You know? And the thing of it is, the hoodie that costs 20 or 30 will do the same thing. It may not have a name on the front, but it'll do the same thing. And with the extra money, we can send it to someone who will send it overseas to benefit someone else. You see, it's an attitude adjustment. Adjusting our principles, our value system, getting things straight. Because you know, someday when we stand before Almighty God, He's not going to say, "Wow, look at you. I see you shop at Air Apostle. I see you shop at these great stores." What's the one across from them in the store? I'm sorry, what is it? Right across the hall from Air Apostle there. Huh? Yeah, there's American Eagle. What's the other one across the hall? Hollister. God's not going to say, "Wow, you shop at Hollister. You shop at American Eagle. You shop at Air Apostle. Come on in. We want your kind here. We want all the saints to look great." That's not what God's saying. He's going to say, "Wow, you spent $70 on a hoodie, and my children over there were starving to death. You see what was going on?" And this was what was going on in the Old Testament. God's people said, "What's ours is ours. We worked hard for it. We deserve it. They don't deserve anything." And again, we in our day have adopted this entitlement mentality that we're entitled to this. We're not entitled to anything. The Bible tells us the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything on this earth belongs to God. It did then and it does now. But when we use it in the wrong way, God says, all right, there you go, see ya, go ahead. And He allowed the enemy to come in and take them captive. Now they were readjusting their attitude and their value system. And they said that we're not going to buy on the Sabbath, and every seventh year we're going to forego working the land. We're going to abstain from doing this because you said so, God. We're not going to do that so that others can benefit from it. You stand in the store next time and you see that $70 hoodie. You say, "No, I'm not going to do that. In fact, here's an awesome idea. Why don't I take that $70 and take it up to Shepherd of the Streets or Sojourner Truth Ministries?" You see what I'm saying? You see how that is? God will honor that because that's faith. Faith honors God and God honors faith. You want to be blessed? Try it sometime. You will be blessed beyond your wildest dreams. May not happen immediately, but you will be blessed because God is a benevolent God who acts charitably and kindly to everyone, and His people are a benevolent people, a giving people, a people who are commanded to share their blessings with others. It's how God works so that everybody receives His kindness and His goodness. And when we close our fists and say, "This is mine," we stop God from doing that. We stop God from doing that. And you want to know what God's going to do when we do that? Do you think God's going to pour more blessing into our life? Nope, He's not. He's going to say, "You don't know how to use what I've already given you. Why should I give you any more?" Now, our lesson today is not a rebuking lesson, a chastising lesson. Our lesson today is a reminder to us. I should say it's been a great reminder to me. And when our eyes are open and we're allowing God to speak to us and we're listening, we see little things like this in our lives every day. It reminds us, do I really need that? Is that really what that's worth? Is my value system really proper? What would Jesus do in this case? And when we live like that, we take an oath and we reestablish the covenant with God day in and day out, over and over and over again. And we say to God, "I'm going to honor your commands and I'm going to be benevolent because you've been benevolent and given to me." We will never suffer with an attitude like that. I have found in this valley a very benevolent people. I know of one farmer who takes a certain portion of his farm to grow sweet corn every year, to give it to Sojourner Truth and the American Rescue Workers. We took it uptown the other day, so we were unloading it. There were people there from churches inner city churches. Hey, our church could use some of that. We drove up and we gave them some too. Awesome. Awesome. And they weren't even our color. The people weren't. Awesome. That's the kind of thing God wants us to do. I've learned to butcher chicken since I've come here and been blessed by that. Learned to eat all kinds of greasy food on the first day of hunting season. We had to buy a second freezer since we've come here because of benevolent people in this valley. It's awesome to see that. And I want to tell you something. That's why this church is growing. Because every time there is someone in need, we give. God honors faith because faith honors God. And I want to remind you and challenge you from God's word every day of your life to be benevolent people using the blessings God's given us to bless others. Let's pray. Dear God, how awesome it is to learn from your word, to be lifted up from your word, and to reestablish our covenant with you. You have been good to us. You have been good to each one of us here. You've been good to St. John's Church. You've been good to me and my family. And you brought us all together to be benevolent people. I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit continues to work in us, that we might be the people you call us to be. And we promise today to forego many things in our lives that others may benefit from our blessing as we give and as we serve you in that way. In Jesus' name, amen. I see 707 is our last hymn. Let's turn there as we stand together to sing.